Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, when nothing else could help, that's because nothing else is supposed to help. Nothing else has the eternal power to reach us in our depravity. Nothing else has the will to endure everything you endured on this earth. Nothing else knows us individually by name. The hairs of our head are numbered. You know everything about us. And you want a relationship and an enduring relationship with us. Oh, we thank you so much. Lord, how surprised will we be if we were drowning and somebody that we didn't know said, "I'm going to rescue you, Roger." Roger would be so surprised that he knew him. But you're that personal with us. We thank you for that, Lord. And tonight, Lord, may we know your name and who you are a little bit better, Lord, because we have walked in your word, Lord, where your presence and your delight abides. Father, I thank you, Lord, for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Before I start this evening, I remember when I first got saved and the pastor at the church I was at, he'd always say "we," and I kept looking behind him going, "Who are you talking about? Who are we?" I mean, I know it's the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I know they're with you, but it was always very interesting to me. As a child, I was very literal, and I kept looking for multiple personalities. But anyhow, before we really go into the scripture this evening, the topic for November, which should be every day anyway, is the topic Thanksgiving. And when you take that down to its root, it's down to thanks. How many know we should thank God? We should have a heart of thanksgiving. This is not something that should be on the calendar. This is something that should be in our heart and comes natural. But it doesn't come natural, does it? I had to make a choice in my early Christian life to be thankful. Because frankly, I wasn't in my life. I don't think I had rage, but I was not particularly grateful. And after I became a Christian, the Lord was very clear. It's a choice. You make your choices. In fact, I worked in a law firm, and this one lady, it was one of the first days I worked there, and I'd made a decision. I was going to thank God every day for working there with these people that are just a little short of something. And one of the gals I worked with, who was not a particularly nice person, I didn't think, but she came up to me the first day I worked there, and she said, "Well, don't worry, pretty soon you'll hate it here like everyone else does." And I made up my mind that moment, you are not choosing my life for me. You're not passing on your hatred to me. And I didn't let her do it. And I'm grateful because it is a poison, as you know. So Thanksgiving and being thankful. Tonight it's about Thanksgiving is worship. You know, there's a lot of people that think worship is only 1 hour on a Sunday morning. The true worship of the Bible is an ongoing, intimate relationship with the Lord God Almighty. And it lasts a lot longer. It's actually going to last for eternity. What are they doing in heaven? Worshiping around the throne. Do you think God wants us to get ready for that? That's what he wants, because that's what is going to be the norm. So I thought before I start talking too much, too late for that, give anyone an opportunity to say a quick thanks to the Lord. It can just be a word for something that I'm thankful for, health or whatever. It doesn't have to be anything long, but if you'd like to say thank you to the Lord, do it right now. Very nice, yep. Amen.
Everybody was new.
Isn't that lovely?
Yes.
When the Lord tells us his mercies are new every day, it's lovely when he tucks kind of a old one in there. Mm-hmm. Amen. Janet. Amen. Amen. That's great. You don't need to remember it. God knows it.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Thank you for this church and everybody in it.
Amen. And we're glad you and Misty are in it.
Thank the Lord for you being patient. Yeah. Not only do you work full time, but you also serve.
Yeah.
That's true. Thank you. Amen. It is.
Thank you for keeping us well and strong, and thank you for helping the people that are sick.
Yep. Amen. Anyone else? You remember when you were a kid? I know it's a long time for some of us. And you got something for birthday, or you got something for Christmas or something, what did your parents say? Say thank you. Now, what's the, you know, what's your intention at that point is to see what the gift is before you say thank you. Right? Because there's different levels of thank you. There's, no, thank you. There's, thank you. Then there's, oh boy, thank you. And you can tell which one they really like the gift. And it's sad in our world, there's a lot of people, unfortunately, that don't even thank God for the little things. And they're not particularly gracious. And I'm glad that I'm standing here in front of people that are thankful, that are gracious. Because you are the people God will touch. Because the Lord works through thanksgiving. So, but I thought about, you know, people that are not particularly grateful. And then I thought, you know, we get trained to be thankful for the good things, and that's good. We should be. I mean, I think that manners have gone way out the door. They're not only in the parking lot, they're in some other society. But some days you have to be thankful for the hard things, right? That's the tough part. It's not hard to say, thank you, Lord, for the great gift you gave me. What's really hard is when he goes, well, ain't what I wanted. Or even more than that, you didn't get one. Usually it's our expectations that cause the trouble. The Lord wants us to be grateful. In my very humble opinion, the right attitude gives you the right altitude, takes you higher when we have the right perspective. And thanksgiving is the whole center. It's the lens through which we should look at life. It really is. No matter what happens, doesn't matter what happens. So in the great book of Ephesians, you know it's my favorite book, within my favorite book, fifth chapter, the 20th verse, which is a part of another portion. And so, of course, we'll speak about that. But it says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does it say sometimes? Does it say when you feel like it? No. It says always. First of all, thanksgiving or thankfulness frees us. You know, this book, the book of Ephesians, along with the other prison epistles, were written while he was in prison, Paul. Now, if there's any place in life that you might not be thankful, I would guess it would be in prison. Particularly if you're in there like Paul was and it wasn't your fault. You were in there because of the gospel. It's a different thing if you're in there because of your own situation. Then you still have to be grateful as a Christian. But Paul is in the middle. He's chained. And believe me, it's not like the prisons we have. There's no cable. There's none of this. My sister used to work at the juvenile court. And she said when they changed, they moved to their new facility and stuff. The kids had, the juveniles, they had everything in the room. They had all kinds of games. They had this and out in another area where you'd go, they had ponies. But the employees didn't have a cafeteria. So there you go. But I guess they couldn't fit them both in. But anyhow, Thanksgiving frees us. Absolutely. There's no question about it. I would consider it in my life the number one changer. And I would never doubt that. Because to be ungrateful, to be bitter, to be any of those things is a jail sentence in itself. Don't you know that? You know that. You can tell when there's a grip on your throat. You can tell where there's a grab in your mind because of unforgiveness or something that's happened that's been very bad. And not that we don't recognize it, but if we allow it to foster and fester in our heart, it really becomes bars of steel. And it's not a pretty place to be. I like to think of that kind of bondage as invisible fencing. You don't see it, but boy, you can't get past it. You try to go forward, boing, over here, boing. And it wouldn't be because somebody else did it to you, because that's their problem before God. The only thing that keeps us from growing and having that altitude is the way we respond to it. That's what God will touch us about. He's not going to say, it's your fault this happened. No. Get rid of all the shame and all the lies and all the guilt that the enemy's tried to throw your way through the years. That's not what it is. It is a jail sentence, but Thanksgiving frees us. I like this word always, because in the Greek, it comes from two different words, pas and tot. And I looked at that, and I was thinking of the latter part of it, the word tote. How many have those tote bags? You carry them around with you, don't you? You got all your stuff in there, except what you're looking for. That'll never be in there, but you carry it around. And I believe a thankful heart, we should carry it around with us. It should be right with us. It shouldn't be something we have to go figure out or go find it somewhere. I mean, it should be right at our disposal, something we can grab. Don't you think? It should be right by our side. We don't pull it out just for the fun things. We pull it out in the difficult times. What did Jesus do? He was thankful at the day of the Last Supper, right? And remember, he knew what was coming. You know, most of us, we get hit broadsided. We don't know what hit us. Jesus knew what was coming. And he thanked the Father, knowing he was going to be betrayed and denied and everything that was going to happen. Setting a glorious example for us. He wants to free us from unthankfulness, because without it, we are not set free as we should be. Secondly, thankfulness defines us. Thankfulness is not about what we say. It's about who we are. You know, you've probably had people tell you on occasion through the years, thank you. And they may say the words right. You can tell immediately from their disposition, they don't mean it. You can tell it. Do you think God doesn't understand our heart if we're not truly thankful? We'd be better off just telling them the truth. Listen, I think it stinks. And I'm not particularly grateful, so you'll have to help me. I think he probably would appreciate that a little bit better than maybe being pompous. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. Absolutely. I do not deserve the goodness of God, so I'm grateful for his intervention, I'm grateful for his invitation, and I'm grateful for his inspiration. Totally. Because Jesus walked what he talked about thanksgiving. Thankfulness is the greatest gift we can give. The Bible goes on to say, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Giving thanks. We forget the word give. It's a gift. It cannot be done unless you choose to do it. It has to be a choice. And it's the best gift you can give God, right behind your salvation. It's purposeful. And when we put that gift in God's hands, imagine what he can do. Lord, I'm thankful that we have no steps because nobody can bother me. You know, you find a way. You say, Lord, what are you doing? Okay, I'm thankful because in it, you're going to work something out that couldn't have been done unless that happened. What it is, I have no idea. I'll leave that up to the Lord. But haven't you found that in life? It's the dirt, it's the things that look like it's a big inconvenience that God can work to do something miraculous. And we just don't see it. We like our life very defined and very specific and our way. And God seems to want it his way. So he gives us a tent that will cover everything. And this says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. I don't hear any exceptions here. You even have to be glad and happy for your siblings. I know you are, probably. Some are a little bit more challenging. But the word for, by the way, where it says for everything, this is a great word. It is hooper in the Greek, okay? That reminds me of hoops. It reminds me of basketball, which I don't play. Although one time at a fair or something, I did very well and ended up with a really big Snoopy. I don't know how I did that, but I did do very well. You know what thankfulness is? When we take a thankfulness out of that tote and we put it through that basket, that gift to God, it takes us forward in the game of life. Now, we're not going to go forward by downing someone else or beating someone else at the game. I said thank you more than you. That ain't going to work. But we invest in it. We're putting something into it. Be thankful for everything. For everything. Not just in everything. Although 1 Thessalonians tells us, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Have you ever asked the Lord, what's your will? He just told you. Be thankful in everything. Because it puts you in a spot where the Lord can do the work that you cannot do. Finally, thanksgiving brings worship. It brings worship. I love the Psalms, Psalm 100, that says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courtyards with praise. Do you know the gates are the outside part where you enter into the property, into the grounds? And then as you get closer into the house, into the physical presence, that's where the praise comes forth. How we approach God, we come forward in thanksgiving. We thank him for this, for that. Doesn't matter if it's been fun or not. That's irrelevant. We say, Lord, I'm putting it in your hands because it's best in your hands. And I go through the gates of splendor, really. And as I get closer to the Lord, then the worship starts, the praise. And we begin to thank him and worship him, what? For who he is. That's where most people don't get to. They're maybe thanking him, and I hope everybody is, but they don't get into, Lord, I thank you for who you are. I don't care if you do another thing for me. I don't care. There's a great song by Andre Crouch that says, "You may ask me why I serve the Lord. Is it just for heaven's gain? Or to walk the mighty streets of gold? Or to hear the angels sing? Is it to drink from that fountain that never shall run dry? Or is it to live forever and ever in the sweet old by and by? If heaven never was promised to me," which it is, "neither God's promise to live eternally, it's been worth having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness, he brought me the light. To me, heaven and everything else is the cake, is the icing on the cake. The fact that he's in my life and made purpose, to me, that's the whole thing. Everything else is an addition, and a wonderful addition, but it's wonderful." And so the word thanksgiving, the word thanks here, is the same word Eucharist that you hear in the more liturgical churches for the communion, the emblems, they call it the Eucharist. We're supposed to have a Eucharist of our own, a communion with God on our own. And thanksgiving is right in the middle of it. Because right before the 20th verse, I love this scripture, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, comma, always giving thanks to the Lord." That's part of the story of being thankful, is worshiping the Master in songs, in hymns, and spiritual songs. It's not just contemporary. Hey, it's songs that lift up and glorify Jesus Christ and aid our personal devotion to him. God wants us to have a communion with him that is beyond anything that we could ever have with anybody else. And it should include, even if you can't sing quite on key, you know, I believe the Lord will adjust that in the middle. So when he receives it, it's right where it belongs. Aren't you glad? The Lord honors the heart. It's a wonderful thing. I think it's wonderful. I mean, when I worked at that same law firm, one of the, she was an administrative assistant and rather hard-nosed individual. She came up to me and she said, "Why are you singing?" And I said, "I didn't know I was singing." I didn't realize it. She goes, "You sound happy." I said, "I am happy." And I shared Christ with her. That wouldn't have happened if she hadn't heard it. You know, I didn't belt out a big tune, but apparently she could hear it. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. The songs that we want to sing in the presence of the Lord and in a relationship to him are not songs about us. They're about him. If you were trying to woo somebody, would you be singing about yourself, or are you singing about the other person? You're singing about the other person. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. Grow in that great relationship. I believe thanksgiving should affect our relationship and conversation with the Lord. And I believe very strongly, since I've become a Christian, that it's as real as me sitting here talking to Joyce. I don't have any, you know, things in the way, no sacraments, no nothing. I'm just sitting here and enjoying it. That's the relationship God wants us to have with him. Aren't you glad you don't have to go through 300 people? Oh my gosh. If you had to, it's like calling up numbers nowadays. You can't find anyone on the phone. And they tell you, dial one for this and dial two for that. And you get to four and there is nobody there. I'm kidding you. There's nobody talking to you. And then they tell you, go back to one, which is where you started, and they didn't give you nothing then either. So you just have to hang up. But anyhow. Exactly. Be thankful. So we should live with this visual for Thanksgiving. Walk toward the life God has given you and me. Pull out your tote bag. Thank him. Put it in the basket. You win. The devil loses. If he could keep us from being thankful, that's exactly what he wants to do. Because you know he can't fight that. He can argue up, always up and down of theology. He will argue with you about that. He will bring up your past, and he loves that. And he even likes to bring up your future because he don't think you got one. That's because he don't. But he doesn't want you to be thankful because that just grabs him. It shouldn't be once a year. It should be who we are as people. That's what it should be. And I'm glad the Lord was thankful for us first. Aren't you glad? He didn't have why do I have to go down there and be there for those people? Some of them aren't even going to want me. He didn't do that. He gave himself totally. Was not ashamed to do so. So I thank the Lord that we can live with invisible fencing or we can live in freedom. If you keep bouncing off of stuff, maybe there's a lack of forgiveness and unthankfulness in your heart. Only God can tell you that. I would suggest you ask the Lord, just in the event that that's the case. Because we want everybody to be free to follow the one who died for us. Please bow your heads for a moment. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for everything that you give us. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve breath, much less anything else. But you gave out of your bounty. And it should be a great reminder to us that when you gave breath, you breathed it into Adam. You had a relationship. You had that connection. You're not interested in doing this by long distance. You want to do it up close and personal. Father, I pray you take us deeper. And Lord, if any of us, Lord, and we can all be in the same situation, have a heart of unthankfulness. If there's something, Lord, that's in the way and it's keeping us from getting closer to you, I pray you'd show it to us that we can repent, we can leave it behind, and we can go forward. Father, we thank you so much for your salvation. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your church. We thank you, Lord God, for the new life you have given us. And we're so grateful we didn't have to pay for it. But we are grateful also that you've given it to us to share with others. So, Lord, may we be a testimony of the love and grace of God as your song sings in our heart and is seen through our eyes. Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And now we're going to pray. And Sylvia called today. Her